everybody, and welcome back to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of AZA's Bear Tag. My name is Emily, and along with Lisa, we're so excited to be talking all things bear with you all. Today is a really special episode because we're joined with two staff members from the St. Louis Zoo. We're going to be diving into some really interesting specifics about geriatric bear care. Emma and Victor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Emily. We're happy to be here.
And before we dive in a little bit more into our specific topic for today's episode, could you both take some time to maybe share who you are, you know, how you got your start in the zoo field, and if you have a favorite bear species?
I'll kick it off. Again, my name is Victor. I'm a zoological manager here in the carnivore area at the St. Louis Zoo. And I got my start in the zoo field. I don't know. I feel it's a pretty typical approach where a lot of people do, you know, just a love for animals. As I was younger, I went to university in wildlife biology. And after that was done, I took internships at the Oakland Zoo and was fortunate enough in my timing to get hired there. Was there for about 15 years before I transferred over here to the St. Louis Zoo back in 2016.
Sweet. And Emma, what about you?
Yeah, so my name is Emma. I am the current third year resident in zoological medicine here at the St. Louis Zoo. So I work within our animal health department. My start, I guess I went to veterinary school. I graduated all the way back in 2014, but got very excited about zoo and wildlife medicine. Even before that, during my undergrad, doing some wildlife research, and I got to do research and have a great mentor in zoo medicine during my veterinary degree. I worked in private mixed animal practice for about 4 years and really amped up my clinical skills, and then did an internship at the Calgary Zoo and a master's in conservation medicine before starting my residency here in St. Louis about 3 years ago.
Very cool. Now, I know for some folks, this is probably the hardest question of the entire conversation, but do you have a favorite bear species?
Well, I do have a favorite bear species, and I have to say my favorite one is the sun bear. So from early on in my career, I've been kind of uniquely linked and fortunate enough to work with them for the majority of my career, several different pairs. Outside of just being able to work with this incredibly amazing and gorgeous animal, I feel like because they're the smallest of the bear species, they have all the personality of a bear in a small package, and they're small, but they're all bear and mighty.
As a Canadian who spent a lot of time around the Rocky Mountains doing a lot of hiking, I would say grizzly bears are probably my favorite bear. To me, I mean, they're such a kind of a representation of the Canadian wilderness to me, and I really enjoy sharing their natural habitat with them. So I would say they're my favorite.
Fantastic. I'm glad that wasn't too hard of a question for you guys. That's good. Off to a great start. So at St. Louis Zoo, there has been a long history of bear species that have lived there and a long history of bear care. So just kind of curious, what bear species live at the St. Louis Zoo?
Well, currently we have three of the world's eight bear species here at the St. Louis Zoo. We have sun bear. We have a single male. His name is Rimba. And we have grizzly bear. As well as, so it's a pair of two grizzly bears there, siblings. And we have one male polar bear named Cully who lives here. And just a interesting fact that, you know, in getting ready for this podcast, I realized that all of our bear species currently living here are rescue bears. So, and they've come from different avenues to the zoo in that way, but all linked through rescue.
That's really cool. And that actually kind of leads into the next question, which is the specific bear that we're going to be highlighting today and his background story, because it is a pretty incredible story.
So Rimba is, I would say, approximately 26 years old, because, you know, we don't know for sure, you know, what his age is, but he came into United States and in human care back around 2000. He was part of a rescue effort of sun bears in the Southeast Asian region. And so they were brought into captivity primarily as a rescue, but also to help bring in some new founding animals to the AZA population and help potentially with some of the low breeding success that had been happening in the sun bear population as a whole up until that time. From that point, he lived in the central part of the St. Louis Zoo for a good time with his companion, a longtime companion, Miskin, and then moved up to our River's Edge area around 2014, where he's lived ever since.
That's awesome. And can you talk a little bit about why it was so important that we brought Rimba to the captive breeding program and kind of what that purpose served?
Yeah, I know in terms of with the bear tag in general, there had been overall population, since some bears have been taking in low reproductive rates for a variety of reasons, in that population, whether it was, not knowing the behaviors, are they cycling, is there low fertility rates? And so having some of these bears come in, that was new founding animals, that was kind of hopeful to set up and kind of study, learn from, study, be a part of learning more about the species as a whole and trying to unlocking some of those mysteries, with that species. Now, I know some of those concerns still persist today, and sun bears are still a pretty small representation across zoos, at this point in the AZA. So continues to be a problem, but that is my understanding of, why they are brought in as part of the several imports in 1996 and in 2000. Rimba was a part of the group that came in 2000.
You mentioned that they were rescued, that group from 2000, and the pet trade is definitely still a major issue for a lot of different species. So all of the bears that were in that group in 2000, all of them were rescued from the pet trade, not just Rimba.
I couldn't say that every single bear that came in 2000. I mean, I was just starting off in my career, so I wouldn't want to say, make a broad sweeping statement like that. But I know that there were several bears that were coming in, at that time, many of which were rescues from the pet trade in the Southeast Asian region.
It's so awesome to highlight those stories. I know we talk a lot about zoos and aquariums doing that kind of rescue work for some of like the smaller species, especially nowadays with the pet trade. We'll see that a lot with like different herps and bird species, but it's so cool to hear that about like a larger species like sun bears. And I feel like something that we've really learned, or like a common thread throughout the podcast, is how wonderful bears are. And they come with a lot of really unique husbandry and biology requirements that maybe you won't find in other species. And I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about how maybe Rimba's husbandry and care have changed a little bit or evolved even as he's kind of aged and grown with you guys.
In general, husbandry and husbandry practices have evolved over the years, and certainly in my career, and Rimba's trajectory is no different. And so we focus on several things with him as a younger bear, but even as he's aged, they've been very strategic and very helpful to have. So his training program, for instance, what behaviors we work with him on. So things like body part presentations, opening his mouth, injection training as he's aged, looking at nail trims because he wears them not quite in the same manner as he did as a younger bear. Close weight monitoring, of course, as we go through that. So those are some pretty standard things as well. But things that we've certainly added, as he's gotten older and dealt with different health issues, started regular photo and video monitoring of him. So as he ages and deals with issues like arthritis, right, we have a video bank that we can go back and look at and watch how his movements have potentially changed over the month. We have photo library that we take of his mouth, right? So when he's dealing with any health issues associated with his mouth, which I know we're going to delve into a little bit deeper here with a specific case, but we can monitor how his mouth is looking, healing, if there's any areas of concern in there. And one that I'm particularly proud of and happy that we are doing is, some more focused focal monitoring on him for specific things, things like his mobility, things on how he's interacting with his keepers, how is he using his habitat. Different features as a young bear, he's scaling up and down his arboreal platforms. But as an older bear, maybe he's moving a little bit slower. That's harder for him. So that can be an impetus to, change things like add ramps for him. Do we want to lower his resting platforms? Do we add more substrate? Those types of situations. So those are all things that we've done for Rimba as he's aged. And it can be very individualistic to him. He ages over time. Maybe he isn't aging the same way as maybe another sun bear or another animal.
Yeah, and I can add on just from the medical standpoint. We've kept, a close eye on Rimba as he gets into his geriatric years. He's a great bear, and we really credit Victor and the whole carnivore team for the amount of training that they've been able to do with him to make our lives easier as veterinarians. So I've been monitoring Vic or Rimba, sorry, very closely for some lip lesions that we've been dealing with for about the past 4 or 5 years. His open mouth behavior is great, and he's so comfortable with it, he'll do it in front front of anyone, which is very helpful. So not only do we get photo updates from the carnivore team, but we're also able to go down and look at Rimba in person and have him do those behaviors for us, which really helps us keep a very close eye on his oral health. And as Victor mentioned, we've also been managing some signs of arthritis in Rimba as he gets older, which is not uncommon for older bears. So their ability to monitor him closely with their focal monitoring form and sort of share summaries of that information with us has been very helpful as we've used different medications we have at our disposal. For him, we're able to kind of titrate down to the lowest effective dosage of those medications and really assess how they're working for him. So we get monthly long-term updates on Rimba from Victor and the team so we can keep a really close eye on his weight and activity levels, how he's utilizing his environment, how he's using his enrichment. And obviously then we're able to tell kind of month to month if there's any trends or changes that might be something we want to address from the medical side as well.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think, again, like Emily mentioned, like the theming throughout this entire season of the podcast, you know, being all about husbandry, and just one theme that we keep seeing pop up is that individualized care. And so, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, husbandry training and the fact that, you know, using positive reinforcement and the voluntary participation in these training sessions, you know, has such an amazing result with the relationship that the keepers have with the bear that they can then transfer to you, Emma, and your team so that Rimba, you know, again, gets the best care possible. It's incredible. And it's like that for, you know, all the animals at the zoo, you know, just getting that individualized care and making sure that we're doing the best we possibly can, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it certainly takes, I mean, you hear the saying all the time, it takes a village. And so it takes all of us in the carnivore unit, all the keepers that know and work with him over the years. And, you know, we have some cast staff members that have worked with him his entire time he's been here, you know, at the St. Louis Zoo. And so we have that perspective going back to 2000, 2001, when he was a new bear here, and they've seen how he's grown and changed over years. And that's just such a valuable resource. We couldn't do it without the keeper staff and the animal care staff that have been with him.
So you mentioned, Emma, that in the last few years, there have been some things brought to your attention when it comes to Rimba and some treatments that he has needed. So can you and Victor kind of walk us through some of those really specialized care and things that Rimba has received in the last few years?
Yeah, for sure. I think the sort of two main things that have come up with Rimba's health over the past few years. The first one, and kind of the big one that we've been dealing with, is lesions that we noted first on the left side of the inside of his lip. Back in 2000, there was a lesion noted that ended up being diagnosed as a type of oral cancer that's called squamous cell carcinoma. And this type of cancer is quite common in sun bears that are in managed care. So it's something we know to watch for, which is helpful. So we utilize research that's coming out not only from other North American zoos, but also from rescue centers in home countries. There's been papers published that summarize this finding in sun bears. So it's seen in sun bears in managed care, not only in North America, but also in Southeast Asia. So it's something we know to watch for. So those lesions were noted initially back in 2020, and the staff was able to bring that to our attention. And initially we tried to do surgical resection of these abnormal areas, which is a pretty common sort of first line treatment to see if you can excise the cancerous tissue out. And that seemed to work pretty well at first. But then again, in 2001, we found another lesion on the other side of his lip that was then also surgically resected. And unfortunately, with this type of cancer, it's really hard to get what us veterinarians like to call good margins on these lesions, sort of the zone of transition from normal healthy tissue into cancerous cells is pretty subtle, and it can be across a wide area. So it's really hard to cut everything out, especially in some place like a mouth where you don't have a lot of extra tissue lying around. So Rimba really well for those procedures and recovered well with the help of the carnivore team. But when another lesion was noted in February of 2022, we wanted to see what other options we might have for treatment in this case, as we've already done two surgical procedures, the lesion is continuing to come back. What else could we potentially do for treatment that might have a better outcome for him? Zoo medicine in particular, we definitely reach out to other veterinary specialists quite often. So we're lucky enough to have a very good relationship with University of Missouri's Veterinary School, which is only a couple hours away from St. Louis. So we reach out to some veterinary oncologists who have been using a different type of treatment called electrochemotherapy. And it's pretty commonly used for squamous cell carcinoma. So the same type of cancer that Rimba had in dogs and cats often presents in the mouth or on the nose in dogs and cats also, and had been used with good success. And we looked in the literature and saw that it had been used in some other novel species. You know, there's a case report in a hedgehog and in a pot-bellied pig. So we thought that this would be a good option to try with Rimba. So essentially what that allows us to do is put a small local injection of chemotherapy right into the lesion and then use an electrical current to kind of open those cells up so they take in a lot of the chemotherapy drug. So we can use a very low local dose. A lot of people, when you hear chemotherapy, you think of these big systemic side effects that you see in people, nausea, vomiting, decreases in your white blood cell count, hair loss, and all those things happen when you take chemotherapy drugs orally or via injection. But if you just do some local treatment, you really avoid a lot of those side effects, which is great. So he had three electrochemotherapy treatments over the course of a few months back in 2022. And the last time he was rechecked under anesthesia and actually had a biopsy of his previous lesion site was in November of 2022. And that biopsy did confirm that there was no longer any cancer present. So we utilized Victor and his team a lot for that process. Victor was able to keep up his injection training. So even though he had multiple anesthetic events over a short period, Rimba was able to be hand injected for every single one of his procedures, which is super helpful for us and much less stressful for him. They were able to work with the oncologist and make sure that we were being very safe with discarding any potential biohazardous material that could have resulted from the use of chemotherapy in Rimba. And also, you know, even though he was having a lot of procedures done in his mouth, he was able to maintain his behavior of coming up and doing his open mouth behavior. So we were able to really adequately time his repeated treatments. So to have sort of unnecessary anesthetic events. I think it was a strong collaboration, not only from the animal health team and the carnivore team here in St. Louis, but also with our veterinary specialists, Dr. Donnelly and Dr. Brian, if they happen to be listening. I know they still love Rimba and love hearing updates about how he's doing. So it was a big collaborative effort, and we were very happy that we were able to be successful in this case and avoid having to do another surgery for him.
I think Emma put it very, very well. And I think, you know, Rimba himself was very resilient during all of this process. I mean, the carnivore team and myself were able to keep up his injection training through that. And, you know, and there's multiple procedures over that time, you know, and sometimes you worry about a breakdown. And so we would adapt to him, you know, and so sometimes, you know, we would rotate in different folks who were trained to do the injections on that to kind of vary up who was involved, who was doing that. Because sometimes animals will react differently to different people, or they go through a different experience. They might be a little bit more suspicious. And so kind of brought that all the way through with him. And during the recovery processes after each of these procedures, you know, team had to go through, you know, at least for the first 72 hours or so, kind of wearing special gear and things like that to avoid potential some of these the chemotherapy drug that may be in the urine or feces and stuff like that. So they had to adapt how they were working with Rimba as well. We made some alterations to his diet, make it softer food. We had to take out things that may irritate his mouth and gums after the treatments, like citrus or pineapple, larger bones or things like that, that he really loves, but he might nosh on and irritate the site. So Rimba had to have some change to that. And just throughout that, he continued to come up to us, do his check-ins. He continued to do, like Emma was saying, his open mouth having people come down and visit, you know, visit with him, see him. I mean, he was incredible. And so many people did so many wonderful things for him, but he was such a resilient and engaging bear with us throughout the whole thing. He was an ideal patient.
That is just so, so wonderful to hear. I think it's so awesome to get to just really dive in deep and learn about just like the collaborations and all the team effort that it really took for you all to take care of Rimba. And it's so wonderful to hear that he's sounds like he's doing great now and he's cancer free, which is awesome. And something that I would just love to know a little bit more about, especially for our listeners who might not have a zoo background, you both talked a lot about training and some of the different behaviors that Rimba was trained to display that helped to make kind of the medical treatments a little bit easier. Could you talk about why maybe that training is so important and what benefit it brings to those medical treatments?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we utilize our animal care teams a lot as veterinarians, especially in zoo medicine. So in the zoo, when you want to see the veterinarian, it's not like taking your dog to the vet where you can get him up on the table and get your hands on and look in his mouth and take a blood sample when you're sharing the same space. So for a lot of our animals, especially in our carnivore department, human safety is obviously a big part of how we work with these animals. So, but they're all very smart and well-trainable. Or easy to train. So that makes our job a little bit easier, especially when we have a great team like we do here in St. Louis, who's able to train these animals to present different parts of their body. So it allows for a certain amount of a physical examination while avoiding having to do an anesthetic procedure every time you want to see anything on an animal. So if Rimba was not trained at all to come over to the mesh and open his mouth, he would have had a lot more anesthetic or sedation procedures, at least for us to be able to monitor the progress of that lesion on his lip. So it's definitely in the best interest for the animal, and it makes our job a lot easier as well. And in terms of the injection training, we talk about how helpful that is for us because it allows us to induce anesthesia without having any period of stress or anything for the animal. So if an animal is not injection trained, sometimes they need to go into a small restraint device like a squeeze chute, which can work quite well. Unfortunately, don't have one of those set up close to Rimba. So if he did not accept the injection training, would be something we would have to deliver by remote injection. So something like a dart, which, you know, is a great tool to have. And we use that for a lot of our animals, but it's a little bit calmer and comes with less associated risk to be able to just have them sidle right up and come on over and get a little injection. And then with them having that injection training in place, we're also to use that to deliver things like vaccinations kind of thing. So we don't have to wait for an animal to be under anesthesia for a physical exam for them to get things that they need for their preventative health as well. So Victor and his team are able to vaccinate a lot of our animals, which is wonderful. And then not in Rimba's case, but in a lot of our other carnivore patients, we're, you know, working on training for things like blood collection. So we can do preventative health and disease monitoring without, again, having to induce anesthesia every time we want to get a sample.
The ability to reduce the stress for the animal, you know, going into anesthesia has so many benefits from during to the recovery process. So we have these, part of our job is to have these positive relationships, you know, as keeper staffs with these animals to help unlock these type of behaviors and situations that benefit them. I mean, the injection training, we've talked about it a lot, don't have necessarily chutes or, you know, squeeze cages or things like that, but we also can get really creative on what may be a chute and help to guide the animals in there. I mean, I like to say there's nothing like a good log that is positioned in just the right way. You know, in this case, Rimba has a tire hammock that we would use in relation to a well strategically placed log for kind of a chute training. So that would serve and line him up, you know, right against the mesh, be able to accept these injections. And then, I mean, I can't say enough about kind of bringing him in and being able to just open his mouth. It seems like such a simple behavior, you know, that some people, you know, it's not super complex, but it provides so many benefits to monitor, you know, not only Rimba, but bears or animals all across the area. So, and then the veterinary team, the animal health team here at the zoo, you know, part of our training is that they regularly see him too. So we, you know, we can send photos and video updates, but when they can come down and be in person and not feel uncomfortable with the veterinarian being a part of that process, that's so important. And so Emma and the animal health team up there, you know, regularly come down for visuals every so often, just so he's used to seeing them or participating with them while we do behaviors. So it's not unusual in the moment when we have an exam or a procedure that comes up for a more acute need.
Yeah, I often think that I might be one of Rimba's favorite people at the zoo because he doesn't know how much I'm involved with all of his procedures. Victor often does his injection for anesthetic procedures. So by the time I'm in there, he's already asleep and he doesn't know that that was my idea. And so whenever I come for his rechecks, he's always getting lots of treats. So I like to think that he's happy when I am in the building because he comes over and gets all the good stuff while he opens his mouth for me.
He'll do just about anything for a little honey water. So that is a favorite and something that's easy delivered and gentle on his mouth.
Yes, there is a reason that their nickname is the Honey Bear. That is very accurate for those guys. Now that's amazing. And I, again, kind of with these husbandry themes, it's really an incredible feat, and something that zoos, AZA zoos especially, really work toward is the long-term care. The care from the moment an animal is at a zoo to its longer life. And so we're committed, and you're committed, and all of this work going into an animal that is geriatric and is getting older and still making sure that, the training is going well and everything is going as it needs to make sure that the long-term care for this animal is there and where it needs to be. And that's such a testament to, the way that AZA zoos are just here for the long haul, whatever that might look like with all of their animals.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if now is a good time, but I think I sort of hinted that there was sort of a secondary sort of geriatric issue that we've been dealing with Rimba over the past several years, even more recently than his recurrence of his squamous cell carcinoma was just signs of progression of arthritis, which is not, again, uncommon for geriatric bears, and especially in managed care when we're really observing their ability to walk around and interact with their environment. Like Victor said, climbing up and using his resting platforms, all those sorts of things were what we were keeping a close eye on. And as veterinarians and animal care staff, we try and be careful about attributing too many changes just to an animal getting older. So we like to say in vet medicine that old age is not a disease. So it doesn't necessarily need to have a significant impact on the quality of life of an animal. So when we started to see that Rimba was slowing down a little bit, not mobility was, he wasn't moving as smoothly or as quickly as he had in the past, and not necessarily climbing or utilizing every area of his habitat. We worked really closely with Victor and the carnivore team to really discuss what those changes were that what they were seeing, what the potential causes could be. And it did seem like he was showing signs of just some generalized arthritis pain. So we actually already had Rimba on a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, which is sort of our first line of treatment for arthritis. So, something similar to like aspirin that would be used in people. He was on a drug called meloxicam. We also use that usually in conjunction for treatment for his actual squamous cell carcinoma. There's been some research that shows that these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories can help slow down progression of that disease. So he was sort of on a long-term treatment already. But in working with the team, we were able to introduce another drug that works very synergistically with meloxicam and can help us even decrease the dose of that drug, a medication called gabapentin, which is used for a variety of different things. And it's actually used in humans quite frequently, but it's really helpful in nerve pain. So when you have your meloxicam doing the work, helping bring down the inflammation associated with arthritis, if you can kind of start blocking some of those signals of pain and discomfort with the gabapentin as well, they can work really well together. And that's not necessarily true in all cases, but we were really lucky with the amount of monitoring that the carnivore team was able to do that we could really see a significant improvement in Rimba when he got on the secondary medication. So since he started the gabapentin, and I'm sure Victor can talk about this a little bit more about actually what they're seeing in his behavior changes, but he's moving around a lot better. He's utilizing his habitat a lot more. And even now, I even notice a difference. And usually, I'm seeing him inside when he's already up close to the mesh with his mouth open most of the time. But I walk the reserve trail quite a bit. And when I'm on the trail now, I often see Rimba in different areas of his habitat and walking around, which is really great.
Yeah, it has been a pretty incredible story as we've kind of altered his treatment and his management as he's kind of dealt with this arthritis progressing as he ages, and kind of want to just go back and maybe start a little bit just around the focal monitoring and the individualistic aspect of that. So when he was, you know, undergoing his treatment for oral cancer, you know, we had a certain set of parameters that we were watching for him on that. And then as we kind of moved past that case with him and, you know, he was cancer free, you know, we were able to change the parameters as we were kind of watching his arthritis progress to kind of focus on that. So more emphasis on his observation of his mobility, you know, how he's using different parts of his habitat, you know, how much time is he nesting and resting, and how has that changed, you know, on different days of the week under different weather conditions in terms of that. And, you know, that's some pretty incredible stuff. You know, like I said, we have the normal photo monitoring. We were fortunate enough to be able to add some habitat observation cameras as well, so we could watch back and do recordings. And so all that kind of puts together, you know, along with the daily keeper interaction and observation, you know, that we're doing to kind of create a whole picture for him. And so watching as we kind of were changing his medication to kind of deal with this, it was incredible to watch as we kind of dialed it in, you know, on what was working for him in terms of dose levels, to watch him increase in his mobility. He's outside more often. He's interacting with enrichment more often. And one of my favorite videos and, you know, segments that I got to watch is, you know, once we were really like, wow, this is, he's like really moving around so much better, heading up on his platforms. And he loves this enrichment fire hose cube that he has. And so we put it up on top of the upper platform and he was up there and he's like literally picking up his claw and like swinging it over his head, like a woo, woo type of thing. And he would just go on that. It's like, I was like, wow, he's feeling it today, you know, and feeling great. You know, he wasn't doing that kind of stuff as prevalently before. So it's just been, it's been a really neat situation to see from, you know, when we first started changing his treatments to where he is now. Of course, we continue him on his focal monitoring. He's still an, you know, older bear. You know, like I said, he's approximately 26 years old, you know, and we're going to continue to change those forms and monitor them, you know. And so having those in place along with just, you know, the daily keeper attention and observation that he gets really helps out.
That's just all just so incredible. And it's so great to hear. With this, for me personally, you know, Rimba and I started here about the same time. We were newbies at the same time. And so he has meant a lot to me personally, you know, watching him all my years here at the zoo. And so, yeah, I can definitely attest to what an incredible animal he is and what an incredible ambassador he is for his species and, you know, just all the amazing care that he has received, especially, you know, recently, thanks to you all. I know I say this every episode, Emily, but like my mind is blown yet again, just with the incredible care and all these amazing, just the husbandry practices and the medical practices and just all the things that go into taking care of incredible bears like Rimba. Yeah, Emily, incredible.
Absolutely. It's been so exciting just to really dive deep into the world of bariatrics. I had no idea that that was like really a thing. And just, it's been so cool learning about the specialized care that you guys have had for Rimba to be able to help him have such a long and healthy life from here on out. And I've been holding on to that bariatrics the entire episode, so I was glad I got to use it.
I love it. That is fantastic.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Victor and Emma, do you guys have any final thoughts or any last messages that you want to share?
I just want to just say, you get into this field because of the incredible animals like Rimba that we've talked about today in depth. But I mean, really, it's the relationships as well that we work with the different people who that holistic care of him all together. So, I mean, we have a fabulous team here. We have fabulous animals. And I love bears. I love working with them. And I love working with the people who love working with bears. So I'll end it with that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top that, but I will just echo Victor in that definitely working with Rimba has been one of the highlights of my residency here in St. Louis. And obviously being a veterinarian for zoo animals, you get to see a lot of exciting cases and a lot of exciting animals. But I will agree with Victor that sometimes it's actually getting to work with the people on cases that can be the best part. So this was a real collaborative effort. And it was just so encouraging to see how much effort everyone put into caring for Rimba and ensuring that we were doing everything we could for him. So it's been so nice to have this positive outcome and to really feel the support from even everyone at the zoo, you know, within all of our departments, and see how much everybody cares for Rimba and is invested in his health, which has been great.
I love that. And I feel like that's a perfect note to end on. So thank you both so much for taking the time to record with us today. It was so awesome getting to learn about just the really awesome care that you're providing for Rimba. And also thank you so much to all of our listeners who took the time to listen to this episode today. If you want to listen to more Bear in Mind, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to see more about bears or the Bear Tag, you can follow us on Instagram at AZA Bear Tag or on Facebook as Bear Tag. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.